Blog Talk Radio.
It's the book everybody's talking about. Acclaimed author Clark Garrison lays it all on the line in his new book on how to survive the next 365 with real-life accounts of success and failure. And it's not only Clark Garrison's story, but it's yours as well. Order your book today at SurviveTheNext365.com. And now, tune in bi-weekly to find out how you can discover the unique journey that you possess, along with the greatness in you. Join author Clark Garrison on Blog Talk Radio bi-weekly to help you figure out your personal blueprint on surviving the next 365. Learn the art of believing in the power within you with Clark Garrison. It's the hottest book on the planet, How to Survive the Next 365 by Clark Garrison. Order your book online now at SurviveTheNext365.com or call 866-642-9125 and tell them to rush your order by author Clark Garrison on How to Survive the Next 365.
Bring it on. I like that bit.
Good evening, 365ers. And welcome to the show.
That's tight.
You are listening to BTR's The Conversation. Coming to you live from Atlanta, GA. This program is designed to give you a dose of positive energy. Check us out. If you're listening via the internet and you'd like to ask any of our special guests a question, go ahead and call us at 917-932-1078. That's 917-932-1078. I want you to open up the browser if you're at home on the PC or laptop. Go ahead and type in our special guest's website tonight. www.tracy-nicole.com. Yeah. Tonight, best-selling author Tracy Nicole stops by to chat about her dynamic debut novel, Who Said Peaches Were Perfect? I said it. Atlanta, U.S. of A. Hey, but up next, Coach Yolanda Grace is going to grace our station with her insight. Hey, I think she's going to be talking about making major changes in anger and frustration. A lot of y'all need to hear this. So hold on. Hold your horses. We'll be right back. You are listening to The Conversation. Yes, listeners, we are back. Y'all got to forgive me. I got a terrible sinus cold, and it is wrecking and wreaking havoc. So if I go into a sneezing fit, I'll just play some Janet Jackson or something like that just until I can get myself together. But bear with me. I know I sound like I'm talking into a can. At least I can't hear myself. Well, we still going to make this happen. Let me go ahead and get a couple of PSAs out of the way. We are still accepting books for our book review write-up on our blog at obamaworld.blogspot.com. We are doing free, F-R-E-E, book reviews. If you're interested, give us a call at 866-642-9125 or go ahead and mail us a copy of your book at P.O. Box 8452, Atlanta, GA 31106, and we'll get you done. Please bear with us if we haven't called you back just yet. We've had a large, large response, but we will get to you. And our blog is far-reaching with readers in 12 different countries to date. Also, we've got an upcoming show here on BTR's The Conversation where we're going to be giving away free, again that word, more than 25 books on our show to callers and listeners just like you. We've got some amazing books and authors who volunteered to give a lucky person a free autographed copy of their book, and we have all genres. So that's going to be a hot show. You're going to want to listen in, possibly get a free book. And if you are an author and would like to participate in giving your book a bit more exposure and making someone's day, hit me up at 866-642-9125 and let me know you're interested, and I will give you the information that you need. Now, real quick, and I said I wasn't going to have a topic today, but I got to talk about this. I was listening to Michael Bazin's show today. I don't know how many of y'all were listening also, but the topic was the fat tax. Have y'all heard about this one? This is my first time hearing anything about the fat tax. That's crazy. Wait a minute. I'm not really up on what it entails, but it appears if you're overweight and have been diagnosed with some malady, you can be taxed an amount or charge your amount for not complying with whatever your doctor's orders were. Wow. I guess they're saying overweight folks are placing a strain on our medical system and affecting rising costs. What do you think about that, America? Now, you know I really don't have an opinion one way or another. Well, I'm sorry, that's a lie. I always got an opinion. However, you can't make this appear logical unless they're going to include smokers, drug users, excessive alcohol drinkers, etc., etc. Don't you think? At any rate, it does show you there's an attack on obesity that has just begun. And I want everybody to be in line with their weight because they know it's the right thing to do and they want to stay alive, not because they're going to be taxed or made to pay a fine. There's got to be a better way of addressing this crisis. I'd love to hear what your opinions are. Hit me up on Facebook. Let me know what you think. Or you can just call in and chime in anytime. We'll let you have a voice. You there go, my voice going away. Nevertheless, let's keep it moving. Enough of me. Our first guest is no stranger to the show. She's a fantastic life coach with a supreme positive attitude. Woo! Oh my God, the staff got to bring me some halls. Welcome to our show, Coach Yolanda Grace. Coach, what's going on?
Hi, Clark. How are you?
Coach, I'm not doing too well.
Oh, I hope that you take some allergy.
Oh, we're going to make it work. I'm gonna get a hot toddy in a few minutes. We're gonna make it work.
Yes, I totally can relate that my allergies have been acted up too.
Coach, we talked a little earlier. You informed me that you wanted to address making changes in anger and frustration. Why is this a topic so vital for people out there to hear?
Well, because we are all human, and even the best of us have anger and frustration. And so even myself, I would like to start out on a down-to-earth note this time and share with all of my brothers and sisters out there that recently, even me, somebody who's trying to be positive and even a life coach to give other people advice, I have been angry and frustrated. So this is what inspired me, because I did not want to stay there, and I saw how it affected myself and my relationships and my family. And I had to dig a little bit deeper, and this is the outcome of what I would tell myself as well as share with my brothers and sisters today.
Oh, absolutely. Please do.
Okay, so as I was saying, I was so angry and frustrated.
Coach, are you still there? Oh, we've had a little technical difficulty with Coach. Coach, if you can hear me, we cannot hear you on the show. And you were just getting crunk. I'm going to try to keep us entertained until she either calls back or maybe she hit the mute. Okay, there you go, Coach. We got you back.
Okay, can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear. Go right ahead. The show's
okay,
yours.
Okay, so I was saying the reason why we're identifying some of these characteristics is because so the audience can relate and identify some of them in themselves, because we're going to identify positive characteristics by the end of this segment. So as I was saying, quick-tempered, unpleasant, had a dark cloud over myself, but I thought I was right. I thought I was justified. And where anger and frustration comes from oftentimes is disrespect. You feel disrespected. So you feel like you have a right to speak up, correct?
Well, that's me all the time.
Yes. So, as you know, when you are angry, sometimes it's a cycle. You may think about it in your sleep, think about it the next day, and continue on and on and on. But what we're going to do is break the cycle of anger and frustration and transform it into the cycle of love. And in order to do that, we need to first try to calm down and forgive. Number one, forgive that person and forgive ourselves. Sometimes anger and frustration brings a lot of guilt, but you know what? If you've lost your temper, lost control, sometimes just let it go, make amends with that person, but the goal is to not lose control in the first place. And in order to do that, I go to the Bible. I want to go to James chapter 1, verse 19 and 20, and it says, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For a man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires." And we have all experienced that. When we allow our anger to overtake us, it does not bring about the life that God wants us to live. And when we remember that, maybe it can be our anchor, be our center to learn how to transform that cycle of anger into a cycle of love. So when we learn how to just forgive each other and forgive ourselves and remember that we are important, we do have a right to speak up, but when we speak up, we must speak with honor and love. It's not easy to do when somebody has done you wrong or disrespected you. You even may feel justified to retaliate in the same way, but that cycle will just continue to breed and feed on that nature of anger. So in order to do that, I simply will go back to the Bible and I will read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. So whether it is yourself that you're angry at, your children, your spouse, your friends, your boss, let's try to transform that anger into love and act out of love.
Hey, Coach, I love this topic because when I was in my 20s and 30s, I was probably the most hot-headed coming from the West Coast and growing up a little bit in Jacksonville, Florida. I was probably one of the hotheads of our time. What I like about this is when you are anger and when you do have this permeating, you know, reflexology of behavior, that, tell me if I'm correct, but that kind of takes you out of your normal balance, doesn't it?
It does. It really does. It takes you out of those characteristics that you wouldn't even believe when you look in the mirror. Like, I'm supposed to be evolved and civilized and spiritual, and look at me, you know?
Yeah.
Look at how I'm acting right now, you know?
Yeah, and the thing is, you can't take it back once you react.
It is so true. It is so true, and that's why. I'm sorry?
Go right ahead, Coach.
Oh, I was saying that's why I was saying it's a cycle, because sometimes, depending on your reaction, you can create even more anger, or if you react in an honorable way, you can just dilute that anger and kind of just calm it down. But, you know, the cycle is up to you. You have that choice in your hands, even though it seems like you may not have that choice. Like you said, we have those fire tempers, and it just seems like we can't hold our tongue. But if we learn how to speak up without losing it and exercise our choice and our self-control, then we can really make a difference in our lives and in each other's lives and our family's lives.
Mm. Well, Yolanda, we love your spirit and we love your passion and we love your honesty for saying you have dealt with these issues as well as a coach. A lot of coaches appear to be infallible and they don't let you know that, you know, they deal with the same things of the people that they're coaching and mentoring and helping. So thank you for being honest and sharing that with us. And before we go, I want you to tell our listeners where they can best follow you and also follow the work that you do.
Well, I am on Facebook, and that's the easiest way to get in touch with me at the moment. As I develop more access and more avenues, I will definitely keep everybody posted, but I'm definitely interested in hearing from you all. I enjoy sharing things with you, and I would love to hear what you guys feel and think. And, of course, you can always find Clark to find me.
That's what's up. Hey, Coach, thanks for stopping by again, and we look forward to having you come back very soon again and giving us some insight, okay?
Thank you so much, and I hope everybody has a blessed day.
Yes, sir. There you go. Coach Yolanda Grace in the house. Next up, Tracy Nicole, you are listening to The Conversation.
If you have elementary age kids, boy, do I have a book for them to read. It's called Dana the Procrastinator. Dana is an 8-year-old boy who loves to waste time, but his procrastination catches up with him when he realizes that he missed out on his own surprise. Well, I can't tell you. Anyway, check out this book at www.kidsread.com. That's www.kidsread.com and available on Amazon.com. You're going to love the illustrations and the audio video CD-ROM, Dana the Procrastinator.
Three, three. Mm-hmm. Three, three. Yay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Our guest is a native of Atlanta, GA, a true Southern girl. She attended Florida A&M University. That was in the house, as always, receiving a BS in occupational therapy. Through the years, Tracy developed an increasing passion for fashion. And in May of 2005, she opened her own boutique, Tracy Nicole, which has been highlighted in various local and national publications, including Essence, Lucky Magazine, Paper City, Jezebel. Oh, there I go. That was the code. And Atlanta Style. Who said peaches were perfect is based upon the lives of two young women, Tori, a sexy, confident, and independent massage therapist, and Lisa, a college student, unaware of her beauty and all she has to offer. Please welcome, without further ado, best-selling author Tracy Nicole.
Hello.
CN is in the house. What's going
on? How are you?
Man, I'm outstanding. I'm sick, but I'm still outstanding. I'm pleased to have you hanging out with us on the conversation tonight.
I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Are you driving? I know you're driving. You're driving like, what, 85, 90? You can go ahead and tell us.
I just pulled my foot up a little bit.
Now you got to focus. Okay.
I'm about 85 now.
Oh, Lord. Okay, we're going to keep it moving just in case there's some highway patrolmen out there. Listen, Tracy, how in the heck does a woman go from occupational therapist to fashionista to art?
Well, you know what? I will tell you what all three have in common. I'm always helping somebody. With therapy, I specialize in head injuries, so I help people, and it's all life situations. So I help people physically. Then when I went into fashion, I help people when people shop, it's therapeutic. It's all related. It's just you got to be creative with it. I'm creative at heart. And then through my writing, there's always a message. If you read my first book, Who Said Peaches Were Perfect, you walked away with a message about life.
So it was a natural progression for you.
It really was. Over the last few years, I just kind of find myself going with the flow of life. I don't really believe that you can plan your own life. I think you can follow the steps and the path that you're on and want to be on, but I think the plan is already set. It's up to you to make it happen.
Well, for those out there who have had their heads stuck in the sand and have not bought, heard, or read of Who Said Peaches Were Perfect, give us a synopsis of that novel.
Well, I will say one thing about Who Said Peaches Were Perfect. If you do not identify yourself as one of the characters, you know somebody that's one of the characters. It's about two young women from Atlanta. And like you said, one's a massage therapist, one's a college student. And one's very confident, one has low self-esteem, but both of them have something really traumatic happen in their childhood. And you take a journey with them and you see what choices they make in life and in relationships. And everyone knows that your past can affect your future, but you're in control of them. You really do have to let go of the past in order to move on and accomplish things in life, not only career-wise, but in relationships as well.
Now, listen, if you just jumped on the lines or the phone, you're listening to the conversation, and we're here with best-selling author Tracy Nicole. And if you got any questions, go ahead and dial up. She'll love to answer those. 917-932-1078. Now, Tracy, let me ask you this question, being a Georgia peach yourself. Is there a misnomer that Georgia peaches believe they are perfect, or is that just a Southern Belle charm playing itself out?
I can only speak for myself. I don't think anyone's perfect.
Oh, that was the easy answer. I got you.
I don't think anyone's perfect. There's a song I identify with very closely now. It's by Beyonce. It's called Flaws and All. And everyone has them, everyone. Now, I think Georgia Peaches appear to be perfect.
Yeah, I knew it would come out.
No, I don't think perfection exists. I'm one of those people, get to know me and take me as I am.
Right. Well, you know, in our first interview, I shared with you my surprise that this novel, your novel, would be so entertaining for guys. Why do you believe guys will connect to your tale?
Well, there are male characters in the book that, and I did this so that guys would read it and enjoy it as well. It's not what they call a chick read, and I've had guys ask me that. But along with the girls having different situations and personalities, there are three guys in the book with different situation and personalities. We have Jay, the thugged out guy who wants to be the rapper, and you run into that a lot, not just in Atlanta.
Yeah, rude boy.
And this is the one that you will see with the domestic violence. There's a lot of that going on right now all over the nation. One in four teens in Georgia alone experience some type of domestic violence in a relationship, and that's a lot. Those are the ones that are reported.
Wow.
And then you have the athlete, the one that, you know, the money and the material things usually gets what he wants. And then you have the clean-cut business guy who is very humble about what he does, and he doesn't throw what he has or what he does for a living at you real quick. He wants you to get to know him first. So, you know, and then, but no one in the book is perfect. Everyone has their situations. One of them gets involved in a situation with a girl that he really had no business getting involved in, and the situation could have ultimately ruined not only his relationship but his career.
Yep.
And every guy, I don't know one guy who could not identify with that situation. And I've had guys reach out to me and go, oh, I see myself as Kenny. Oh.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell you which one I see myself as. I'm going to say that. Somebody
I
want to
know.
Hey, we'll tackle that off here. I got to stay out of trouble. I'm sick. I got to stay out of trouble.
Okay, I just hope you're not Jay. I don't know.
No comment. Oh, moving right on. Lisa, talk about the main characters in your book, Tori and Lisa. They lead totally different lives, as you stated before, but they both seem to have similar demons when it comes to men. What is that about?
I think the root of it is about not knowing who they are. So whereas Tori, who comes across as very materialistic, and out for the man with money. Look, I sugarcoated that, huh?
She's something else.
She's very confident. She knows she is, you know, what some man is wanting, but she knows what she wants as well. And it's not just to get to know him. She wants what's in his pocket.
Right.
And she, you know, she has.
What I like about Tori is she got her own change too. She's not just some broke chick, you know. With nothing to give, nothing to bring
she
to the table.
She brings a lot to the table, and that boosts her confidence. And so she has options. So that just takes it even further for her. But I think I love Tori because you watch her grow. You watch her grow, and you watch her get to know herself better and start dealing with the things that happened in her past and realizing why she's making the choices that she's making in relationships, looking for more security than love in the beginning.
Yeah. Let me say that I love your writing style, the way your characters seem like someone, and we said this on the show, someone you know or met, you know. Here's my question. Is there a little bit of you in either one of the main characters?
Huh, why would you ask that question?
Because I got you on the radio.
I will say that there are certain parts of each character that I can identify with. I mean, you'll never know what, but And I think that I think that will be in every book that I write. I mean, you pull from a lot of different places when you're writing, and a lot of it does come from within. So it might not have been an exact experience, but something I could relate to.
Right, and that's been a reason for everybody to go out and buy the book so they can try to figure out which one of these is Tracy. Yeah.
Yeah,
hey,
I mean, my
so
story
many...
now, my story, I don't think people are ready for my story.
Well, we'll have your memoir. That'll be another 10 years from now.
Right.
Well, there are so many twists and turns in this novel. Well, was that by design, or did this book take on a life of its own as you were writing it?
I would say this. I'm an avid reader, and I'm a huge movie buff. And I am one of those people that I have to be grabbed from the beginning. And I promise you, page one of my book will grab you. Everyone that picks it up and reads the first two or three pages buys the book.
Yeah.
And that's the type of, I write how I like to be grabbed. And that was purposely done. I like to be entertained. I don't like predictable. I know for a fact that you're going to think you know what's going to happen at the end of the book, and it's not what happens. It's not what you think, happens. And I purposely did that.
Well, I will vouch that you will not guess how this book is going to turn. You will not guess it in a million years. So, listen, I would easily say that was probably in the top five best books I read in the last year, and I read probably well over 100, 150 books a year. So, outstanding book. Your book, while entertaining, deals with several real-life issues women are challenged with. Again, you touched on that emotional childhood scars, physical abuse, family secrets. Did you want to make a statement in this book on your views of how women can cope with such issues?
Absolutely, absolutely. I am the president of an organization called All Grown Up. And basically, our mission is to teach young women how to become young ladies. Teach them self-esteem and self-worth. Like we go through what life is about with them and help them to have respect for themselves and know that that's important. And right now, today, I have two girls, and it's not a lot of positive images that you see every day. And I said it that way because there are a lot of positive images in the world. There are a lot of positive images in Atlanta. There are a lot of women doing their thing, but you don't see them.
Right.
You see people like the housewives, or you see people like, I won't name names, but, you know, in entertainment, you see people that you don't necessarily want that to be that role model for your child. I know I don't.
Right,
So, yeah, there is definitely a message, and I work with these young girls all the time, and the first thing on their mind are getting the attention of these young boys. And they will do anything to get it.
You know, you segue right into my next question, by the way. We didn't plan it this way, but I was going to say, you're not just a writer. You've been extremely active in the community, working with organizations like Our House, Seeds of Love, and, as you said, serving as a board member of All Grown Up, Inc. Where does this passion to give back come from?
You know, I grew up with a very, very strong mother who I witnessed go through a lot. My childhood wasn't the nicest. It wasn't the worst, but it wasn't the nicest. I didn't have a father very young, and I know the effect that it could have. I know the effect it could have on how you allow someone to treat you in relationships. And that's why it's very important to me to have a really strong message in Who Said Peaches Were Perfect about how you allow someone to treat you. And I grew up with a very giving mom. That's what I witnessed. And she taught me to be really strong. And giving, when I tell you that's what life is about, it is so fulfilling when you impact someone's life and you know it's going to affect them for the rest of their lives. It's better than a paycheck.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, and when you do it, I mean, it becomes addictive, and you're changing someone's life. I've been very blessed and fortunate to have been in a situation where when I went through a divorce, I was left very well taken care of. My mother went through a divorce; she was not. I didn't have a father to pay child support, and you know, we lost our home. So I've been through a lot, but in working
right.
with our house. Our house had homeless college graduates.
Oh,
as
wow.
As a result of a divorce. And I very well could have been in that same situation. But I wasn't. And when I tell you, when you're blessed to be in certain situations where it could have been so much worse, it makes you want to give back. At least that's my experience. I look at other people and I don't feel like I'm any better. I don't feel like I couldn't be where they are. These homeless women that I've helped clothe, that I've helped find jobs, and that I've helped find homes for them and their children.
Hmm.
And it's one of those things. I do it because I can, and that really is it.
Wow, I love
and
your passion, man.
When I had my store, I used it. Because I could. It was an outlet. And I said, I hope this becomes contagious. There are so many people with so many means that don't use it just because they can.
Hmm.
We
got to
think
about more people out there doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, you think about Charlie Sheen can get 1 million people to follow him in 24 hours. Imagine what he can do. For the country to raise some money for some homeless people. Imagine if more people did that. And there's a lot of people that can do things. I'm on the low end of the totem pole.
He could, instead of blowing $40,000 in a night, wow.
But,
yeah, we won't go on that. That'll be a whole nother show. Well, looking towards the future, what has Tracy Nicole got up her sleeve in 2011?
Wow, I'm glad you asked. I've just finished my second book. I don't have a release date yet. I'm working on it. I literally just wrote the end. So I'm going through the editing process right now. But it's called Landing, and it's about a young woman who is married. She married her college sweetheart, and something tragic happens to him at probably the worst time in her life, and she's unable to cope with it. And the story is interesting because you don't know what happens to him until pretty much the end of the book. I wanted to challenge myself. I hit on a lot of issues. This is not just entertaining once again, but I go a little further this time. We talk about divorce. We talk about death. We talk about infidelity. And we talk about loving, losing, and loving again. And really, it's moving forward with life and letting go and not being afraid to. So it's a lot deeper. I wanted to make you cry as well as laugh. And in writing it, I was thinking of the big screen. I'll be honest with you.
I ain't mad at you. I'm not mad at you. Certainly, you definitely have the talent for the big screen. What else you got for us in 211? I know you got something else up your sleeve, no doubt.
Yes, I actually have been doing quite a bit of ghostwriting.
Oh, how you like it?
I love it. I absolutely love it. I, unfortunately, I can't tell what I'm working on, but that I love it. I'm working on 3 different projects right now. I have lined up for 2011, 2 fiction and 1 nonfiction. but I didn't. I fell into it, and I didn't know how much I would enjoy it. And it really is helping other people get their stories out.
Wow. Now, I you know, ghostwriting, that's a whole other set of talents that one must have to do, so I commend you on even, I mean, you're juggling three at one time.
Well, I've got them lined up. I'm not, I've got them lined up. We started, and I've mapped out, like, a plan, and I put the end on landing, and I just hopped to the next project, and it's been a blessing because they've just come, and that was nothing I set out to do.
Wow. Hey, listen, do me a favor. You're a great author, talented writer. Can you give some of our younger listeners out there who may be starting to write, wanting to write, just one nugget of advice from someone who's gone through the whole thing from A to Z and now is taking it to the next level?
I would say the biggest piece of advice I would give is to learn your craft. If writing is something you want to do, learn how to do it well. That means if it's something you really want to do passionately, you would write every day.
Right.
And it's not so much about what someone thinks about it, more so than what you think about it.
Mm.
Because writing is subjective. What one person hates, another person loves. So it's, you know,
so
write what you understand that as a writer yourself.
Oh my God. Night and day.
When you get to that point where you know this is subjective and you get that level of confidence that this is what I want to do and you know that you do it well, you keep perfecting that craft. I still read a lot. I read a lot and I write a lot. And I don't think I'll ever stop trying to get better.
Well, I'm so happy you said read a lot because we can't get these young kids. I can't get my teenagers to read to save my life. I will be making them listen to this show.
Look, I try my best to make it entertaining so they'll keep turning the page.
Exactly. Well, you know, T, our time is almost up. Before you go, give a short shout out to for the people who helped you create such a wonderful novel.
First, I have to shout out God above. I wouldn't be black if I didn't say that.
I know.
but no, just having the courage and the faith, it definitely came from God above. A mother and a father who showed me what love really was. My two children, Kennedy and Christian, who drive me and make me want to be this woman that they can look up to and be a role model and leave something for them to have that their mother did.
Mm.
And then professionally, you know, there's so many people that inspired me, everybody from Sister Soulja to Oprah Winfrey to Ada Pinkett. I mean, I've been inspired by so many people. Going to Florida A&M, as you know, is probably one of the best schools that you can go to when you're talking about a network of people.
Absolutely.
And, you know, when my book came out, alumni from Florida A&M were so, so supportive, including yourself, Clark, so supportive. We have a phenomenal network of people that I couldn't go into naming each name, but they were very encouraging and very supportive, and that definitely pushes you to keep it going. And, oh, I will say this. I'm getting ready to write my first movie screenplay, and I've actually been hired by another author to write a script for their book. Yeah, so that's
exciting. That is exciting. You're going to have to come back on the show when you do that Hollywood premiere.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's my next challenge, just learning that the screenwriting world.
So, well, you're a rattler, so I know you're going to reach every height you set your mind up to. Before we let you go, we have six questions. We ask all our new guests very simple questions. They'll get them nervous.
Okay.
They're one word answers, and you know, come on and play along with us. Okay, you ready?
I'm ready.
What is your favorite word?
Oh my goodness. My favorite word? Peach.
Mm-hmm. First thing that pops in your head.
First thing that pops in my head?
Yep.
A peach.
I like that. I like that. What is your least favorite word?
No.
What book helped you the most with becoming a writer?
Help me the most. Honestly, the coldest winter ever, Sister Soldier.
Uh-huh. Ain't ready for that one. wait, I lost with that. What's your favorite color?
Purple.
What, really? Oh, okay, you threw me for a loop then, okay.
What
profession other than your own... What profession other than your own would you like to try?
I would be a dancer.
Okay, I was going to say, because you've had about nine professions, so I was wondering, did you run out, or you might have done them all?
I mean, I reach for something that I probably would never do, but would love to.
And last but not least, if heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
I'm proud of you.
Perfect. Hey, before we let you go, please let everyone know, again, where they can purchase this best-selling novel, Who Said Peaches Were Perfect, and stay in touch with you as you progress up the food chain there.
My website, www.tracy-nicole.com. I am on Facebook, Tracy Nicole 13. I'm on Twitter at No Perfect Peach. And you can always just go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Borders, and put in Tracy Nicole. And download it on Kindle.
Yeah.
It just went down to $4.95.
Really? Okay. There you go. Hey, you guys, hey, don't go to Borders and all that. Make sure you go to a website. Yeah. I'll tell you about that later. Hey, well, without further ado, hey, Tracy, I want to say thank you. I know you're driving, so I know it's a little difficult to concentrate, but you did it. Thank you so much for hanging out with us on The Conversation. We love your book. You know I like promoting it. I probably got so many sisters. They're looking at me like, do you know her or something? Yeah, I know her.
Thank you so much
for your book and your words.
Thank you.
Yeah. That's the famous on The Conversation. There you go. Yeah. Yeah. That's how we do it. Well, y'all know what time it is. Another show in the book. I did it with a poem in the heart. Special thanks to our lovely guest tonight, Coach Yolanda Grace is in the house. Putting it down. And best-selling author, Tracy Nicole. Y'all know I'm a little bit under the weather, so we got some cold calls. Allowing a short release to get me through the show. Shout out to cold calls. We got some real guests for a dynamic storytelling time with the family we had today. I was out there sleeping for a while. They had to put me out the house. And finally, we got to see the boss, Jerry Smith. He might be listening. I don't know. We'll see everyone right back here this Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Remember, if you're in life, imagine you'll end up a casualty.
Talking.